open up your Bibles. We're going to be in Acts chapter 4, just kind of a heads up, just so you have time to go there. If you have your Bible app, it's a nice free app that you can have. If you need a paper Bible, we actually have free paper Bibles that you guys can access. But before we dive into there, I just kind of want to share one of my favorite stories with you guys. About almost 8 years ago, I got married, okay? We'll just cut to the chase. It was the greatest day of my life, and my wife is incredible, and all you guys said, aww. It was like two people, thank you for the sentiment. But I got married, and it was in October, and it was incredible. It was such an awesome, awesome wedding. Well, to start this wedding, for me and my wife, Jenny, we have friends all over the country, and we actually had 9 bridesmaids and groomsmen on each side, and so literally it was from like every phase of our life. And so what we did to kind of like celebrate this weekend and like maybe for the only time that we would have all of these people in the same room at the same time, we did like our bachelorette party like during the weekend, so like on Thursday night, and then Friday night was the rehearsal, and then Saturday was the wedding. And so it was like this festivities. And so on Thursday, me and the bros, you know, got the whole homie squad up, and we were playing video games. We had plans for that night to go play, to go do like video games. I said video games already. Yeah, we played a lot of video games, okay? And then also we were doing flag football that ended up turning into tackle football because like dudes are dumb and like, you know, I'm getting married and anyways. And so what we had the football and we were out front, we were playing yard games, and next door to the house that we were staying in was this basketball hoop. And it wasn't turned towards us. It was obviously the next door neighbor. It was turned towards the road. And we're like, oh, I wonder if I could like throw this football into that basketball hoop from here. And just a heads up, just a kind of lay of the land, very wooded area, okay? Lots of trees, and from here probably to the booth back there, you know, it's a pretty hefty throw. Tom Brady, it would struggle with this, you know what I'm saying? Tom Brady, a cuss word around here still? We'll move on. But like, well, I bet we, what if we like threw that, and it was the neighbor's basketball hoop. Like, okay, let's start trying it. So we start throwing it. We were taking turns throwing, and what we found is there were many branches that were in the way that would obstruct us from doing that, so we just started throwing harder, okay? To then break some of those branches to clear a nice little hole, because like, bros, we do it, this is what we do. And we cleaned up after our mess, right? We made sure that it was the tree, actually, that the person owned, not the next door neighbor's tree. Okay, disclaimers everywhere, we're not hoodlums, all right? And so we made, like, and this took 3 hours, where it was just us, just like, you know, kind of going, and like they were really trying to make sure that it was me, because it was like my wedding weekend that was the one that was gonna get it. And then finally, it's like kind of faded back, like did a little couple pats, did a nice little step into the throw, went through, cashed it right into the hoop. Everyone went crazy. It was like, wow, the shot. This is an omen. This is going to be the greatest wedding ever. This is the best marriage. And we were celebrating, got lifted, hoisted up onto shoulders, and it was great. Well, here's where the story really kicks in, okay? We had the rehearsal dinner the next day, and then Saturday, once the soreness from all of our arms kind of started to wear off from 3 hours of trying to throw into a tree, we were dressed in our attire, our wedding attire, waiting for the bus to come. And we were just kind of throwing the football back and forth in the front yard. And one of my friends said, yo, Rob, why don't you try to make the shot? Because by this time, we have coined it as legend by this point, just 2 days later, that Rob made this shot. He said, why don't you try to make the shot? I'm like, dude, like it took us 3 hours, like not in suits, to make this thing. I'm gonna like take my coat off, throw a couple, we're gonna miss, and then it's just gonna be like anticlimactic. Then the bus comes and we leave. And one of my other friends says, Mom, sounds like you're playing it kind of safe. I start to remove my jacket. All right, hold my jacket, and I kid you not, go up to the plate here. So one of my friends hikes me the ball, I fade back. I throw it, and miss it. Did you guys think I was going to make it? Second try. I fade back. Pat, throw it. And I kid you not, second try, that football went right into the hoop. There are pictures to prove it. There are I'm going to hoist it up. It's like this incredible thing. So why do I tell you this story? Not to just self-brag. I made it this shot. We can really wrestle with confidence in certain areas and certain things in certain ways, right? And for me, already right off the bat, whenever I was coming to this wedding, I was really focused on being married, getting married, all this kinds of stuff. And the last thing that I was going to think that was going to happen was something that took forever, five ever, to really do was going to happen. And then what happened? It ended up happening. And it was incredible, and that was just like such a great thing. I still have groomsmen of mine that text me on October 3rd, my wedding date, and said, "Happy anniversary, ... to the shot." But that gave a really special confidence that day to marry my wife. I didn't need any more confidence. I was already unbelievably thrilled and knowing that I was way out of my league. But through this series, we've been talking about confidence. We've been talking about this aspect, this idea of where can we as believers gain confidence? How can we have confidence? We've been asking this question too. How would your confidence look different if you truly believed that God was with you? And so in week one, we kind of started off in Matthew 28. It's like this thing called the Great Commission, where it was literally resurrected Jesus telling his disciples to go, therefore make disciples of all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teach them all I've commanded you, and I'll be with you always to the end of the age. And we talked about mission, how that mission, understanding our mission, gives us confidence. And then him saying, I'll be with you always to the end of the age, and then he ascends up. Last week, in week two of this series, we talked about how God kept that promise, Jesus kept that promise of being with us always by sending the Holy Spirit. That we can have confidence because the Holy Spirit is working in believers. Those that have said yes to Jesus and said, yeah, I'm going to be obedient to you, we're sealed by that Holy Spirit. And we read about that in John chapter 14, where Jesus literally said, it's better for me, Jesus, to leave and the Comforter to come, the Advocate to come, so that you can really live out this mission with confidence. And so today, we're going to continue on this trajectory, that we're going to see that the original followers of Jesus, they got this confidence to obey God no matter what. Because it's one thing to, like, you know what I mean, if you kind of get this mission and you get this understanding, this help to accomplish it, but it's another thing when opposition comes its way in the midst of you trying to be confident in what maybe God has specifically called you to do. And we're going to see how the disciples, they had the confidence to obey God no matter what, even under pressure. And so what would happen to your sense of confidence if I could convince you that you guys, if you've said yes to Jesus, that you actually have a strategic advantage? I'm going to try to convince you of that today, okay? So, again, we're going to be in Acts chapter 4, and I just want to really kind of paraphrase this for you because we covered Acts chapter 2 last week, where the Holy Spirit came, and it was like wild, like Peter preached, the disciple Peter, the dude that walked on water with Jesus and then sank, and then Jesus lifted him out of the water, like that guy. He preached to people because he had like spoken in his own language, and then other people from other dialects heard his preaching in their own language. It's like this tongues, Acts 2, tongues is a miraculous story. And like thousands of people said yes to Jesus in that day. And so from Acts 2 all the way to Acts 4, let me catch you up kind of what happens. Lots of people started following Jesus. Then Peter and John, they were walking, traveling back to go preach somewhere else to kind of continue this mission, go, therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptize them, and teach them. And they got to this place called the Beautiful Gate. It was leading into Jerusalem, and there was this lame dude. By lame, I mean it was like he couldn't walk. He'd been crippled for a really long time, and he said, hey, can I have some money? And that's why he had his friends take him to the beautiful gate to kind of beg for money. And Peter and John said, I don't have any money, sorry, bro, but why don't you just go ahead and get up and walk? And he was healed. This lame guy, this crippled guy, literally got up and started walking. And not just walking, which is really great, because all these people that were traveling through the beautiful gate, they were going to the temple to worship. They were going to the temple to make sacrifices. They were going to the temple to live for God. And what this crippled guy did, he got up and walked. He was completely good, strengthened on his legs that he hadn't used. And what'd he do? He walked into the beautiful gate and went into the temple to worship. So beautiful. And then like all these people that had been literally going into the beautiful gate over and over again that saw this crippled guy that was there day after day begging for money, they saw him like, wait, that's that dude. And they're like, probably like a little suspicious. And then they're like, wait, no, like, I know that this guy was crippled. They would have known that and seeing. And so Peter saw that other people were like, what? Is this the guy? Is this the guy? And then he started preaching right there. He started preaching and telling about Jesus. He started telling about some specific things that we'll dive into. And people were like, I like that. That's incredible. That's awesome. Like, tell me more. And then all of a sudden in Acts chapter 4, the priests, the temple guard, the Sadducees, which are some other like religious leaders, they were like, whoa, 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 hold up. Peter and John, take them away. And so Peter and John, the followers of Jesus, remember Peter, and John was the youngest that ran to the grave. They took them out of the temple, put them in jail. It was a little bit late in the day, so they just let them be in jail at night, all through the night. What's really crazy is like people heard that message that Peter was preaching, and it says 5,000 started following Jesus. 5,000. And so the leaders are interrogating Peter and John, and that's where we pick up in Acts chapter 4. The council leaders, they actually ask, by what power or in whose name have you done this? That's their question. They said, he was healed, the beggar, the crippled man was healed by the powerful name of Jesus Christ. Verse 12. That's where we're at. Chapter 4, verse 12, it says this. There is salvation in no one else. God has given no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. The members of the council were amazed in verse 13. The members of the council were amazed when they saw the boldness of Peter and John. For they could see that they were ordinary men with no special training in the scriptures. They also recognized them as men who had been with Jesus. All right, let's pause for a second. So all of a sudden, they're being interrogated. Who gives you this power? Jesus gives us this power. There's no other name under heaven and on earth that you can be saved by, that you can be bought back into the kingdom of God by. His name is Jesus. And they were amazed because how they were speaking so confidently, speaking so boldly. And so what stood out to the members of the council was their boldness, that they were bold. But here's what's really wild for us in this room. What really, really stood out for me is that these people, Peter and John, they were recognized as regular people. Not with any special training, not with any Bible degrees, not as professional Christians, not as professional Jewish people. They weren't they didn't look spectacular. They weren't doing some special thing that was from their training or from their upbringing. What they were is they were normal, everyday people. They didn't have powers that we don't have today through the Holy Spirit. The same power that raised Jesus from the grave is the same power that lived in Peter and John. What's really great, what we learned last week, is that same power is who lives in believers today. If you've said yes to Jesus, you have the Holy Spirit sealed. And again, to point back to last week, at Romans chapter 8 says that Holy Spirit is literally praying for you within God's will every step, every minute of your day. Talk about a helper. Talk about the help. The council leaders, they were super perplexed on what to do about the disciples. Like, well, what are we going to do? Like, and here's what's kind of crazy. Some people that you probably might like come into contact with, if you're like, you know, talk about your faith, and maybe you talk about your life, your testimony, your story of like how Jesus like literally maybe led you to a church or led you to himself. And like through that, you've maybe experienced like incredible healing. Maybe you've experienced like, man, real freedom from things that you like were giving your life over to before. Like maybe you have real, legit proof on your life, and you explain that to others, and still people are like kind of skeptical, like, eh, because we just naturally, like in this world, just like kind of we wrestle with skepticism. Well, the same was here. These council leaders, they weren't like, okay, well, tell me how I can be saved or how I can have this relationship with Jesus. They're like, man, we got to figure these guys out. We can't really do much with them. They couldn't deny. They said that they couldn't deny what was happening. That like what they were doing, this specific power, this confidence, this boldness as regular people, this special thing that they were doing couldn't be denied. And so they're like, well, let's throw them in jail. And then in jail, like all through the New Testament, anytime like Christians are thrown in jail, they just like sing. And like sometimes like there's like the jailer, like one of the time in Philippi, like the jailer got saved. Like he started like, you know, he welcomed Jesus as his Lord. And he said, how must I be saved? That's the specific words that he said. Like he said yes to Jesus. And so like whenever Christians are locked up, they're just like, hallelujah. Is that good? They would just sing. They'd be joyous. Like you point to that in James chapter 1. It says, count it all joy, my brothers and sisters, when you face trials of various kinds. For the testing of your faith will produce steadfastness. They knew that. They had confidence in that. And so let's continue to see maybe what they tried to do. Picking back up in verse 18. So they called the apostles back into the and commanded them, never again to speak and teach the name of Jesus. good tact. Hey, guys, I know that your life has been completely transformed. Gonna need you to not talk about that anymore. Verse 19, but Peter and John replied, do you think God wants us to obey you rather than him? Mic drop, and they just like walk out. Like, hey, what's your name again? Oh, it's not God? Okay, I'm probably gonna listen to God, thanks. But Peter and John replied, do you think God wants us to obey you rather than him? We cannot stop telling about everything we have seen and heard. This confidence came from something very specific. This passion that they have is something that they could not stop talking about. They couldn't stop living by it. They couldn't stop letting it transform them. They couldn't stop letting it literally flow out of them in every area of their life. The love that they gave, the correction that they gave, like the ability that they were doing, the literally meeting and needing the needs of their community, like they could not stop. It was radiating out of them. And it's not hard to respect people who have strong convictions and are willing to stand up for their belief with immense self-control, right? And so think about this, just to ask this question, who do you think of when I ask about someone with strong convictions and courage to stand up for what they believe with love? Who's somebody that you think about? For me, I think about this guy named Carl. Anybody in here that's maybe heard about Carl, for me, Carl is a mentor that I've been walking with for the past 5 years or so, for 6 years. I keep saying five, it's been 6 years that that Carl Robinson, this old retired Army vet, has been my mentor. He didn't go to Bible college. He doesn't have the special, quote-unquote, training that I have. But man, oh man, does this guy know how to love? And I saw that, and I said, hey, Carl, I'm really looking for a mentor, and here's the specific expectations that I'm kind of given. Is this something that you'd be interested in? And he thought about it, and he didn't answer quickly. Like, I think that's another kind of beautiful beautiful picture of faithfulness is patience. And he got back to me the next week, and I said, yeah, I would love to say yes to these specific things that you're really looking for in a mentor. And I started walking with Carl, and I went through this process with him. And why do I say that I mean, when I think of someone who has strong convictions and face it with courage and love? Well, in 2020, on Mother's Day, we just passed Mother's Day last week, Carl's wife of many, many years passed away. She went home to be with the Lord. There's joy in knowing where she is. There's joy in knowing that, man, she's not facing cancer anymore of what she was facing. There's joy in knowing that. But man, can you imagine for Carl? The really tricky thing is in 2020, it was heavy COVID, and obviously I've been walking with Carl for a long time already, and I just wanted to be there for him, just how much he had been there for me. And I rushed to the hospital as soon as I could because it just wasn't looking good, and I wasn't even allowed to go up because of COVID. I couldn't even be there. I just had to talk to him on the phone. But I remember this, and this is why I point to Carl, because obviously there are still hard days for Carl. I called Carl on May 10th, which was the date that his wife passed away. And then I talked to Carl on Mother's Day this past Sunday because, again, another really, really hard day. And just he said, yep, there's still days that are really hard. But he points back to this. He says, I loved my wife with everything that I had. I still love her. But I know my God loves her more. And when I know that, I know that I can trust God with whatever he lets happen. Can you imagine? There's beauty in having confidence that what God says is true. There's beauty in being able to actively live that out because it changed me. Everybody that surrounded him was transformed by that steadfastness. Everybody around him said, I want faith like that. So where did Peter get this confidence? Where did Carl get this confidence? And back in chapter 4, in verse 21, the council then threatened them further. Said, but they finally let them go because they didn't know how to punish them without starting a riot. Because they had other people that were around them that experienced like God's love like right through them, and they were going to be like, "Hey, you if you want to like punish them, you can punish me too." And then everybody would be like, "Me too, me too, me too." And then everybody like around would be like, "Yeah, yeah, I'll take that punishment too with Peter and John." So they didn't want to start a riot or start some trouble. It said, for everyone was praising God for this miraculous sign, the healing of a man who had been lame for more than 40 years. This is a story pretty wild. It's pretty insane to just think about somebody that had maybe been at this same gate for years, maybe even 40 years, to then see him worshiping in the temple. Man, that would be a worship service, right? That would be a praise, man, lifted up type of service, right? Be like, I just can imagine like doing like, you know, like getting down, like booging. That was really bad. Don't hold that against me. Just imagine. Can you imagine? And the proof was on full display, and people were transformed by it. Peter just stepping up and preaching, and people said, yes. Where did this confidence and this courage come from for Peter? Well, we're going to learn today three places that Peter gained courage from. We'll start with the first one. First place that we see that Peter's confidence came from was it came from experience. Peter's confidence came from experience. In the first sermon that Peter preached, was back in Acts chapter 2. He said, people of Israel, listen, God publicly endorsed Jesus the Nazarene by doing powerful miracles, wonders, and signs through him, as you well know. He was pointing to like specifically what God had already done. He was pointing to this beautiful picture This beautiful like thing that like he said, as you well know, what he's saying is like, hey, people, you probably know someone that God has done something miraculous in. If you don't, like, you just got to go to the local supermarket and just say, hey, do you guys know who Jesus is? And like, people would be like, oh, I know. This is what I saw him do. Or, hey, this was me. Like, this is what he did for my family. Like, they would have well known the specific things that God was doing in that specific time through Jesus. Jesus was there, and it was like, that's why, like, the religious leaders really saw, like, Jesus as a problem, because everybody knew him. They knew what he was doing. They knew that there was something special. It wasn't just some magician doing a street magic. So he points to that specific thing. Why did he say that? Well, he wanted them to remember something that would produce confidence in their heart. Something that they could hold tight to from before that would give them confidence in the future. And it worked. He was pointing out what God had already previously done. And it's not just that God did like miracles to authenticate Jesus. It's not just like that this was just authenticating the prophecies and all this kind of stuff. Like, Jesus welcomed and didn't condemn. Jesus was bringing the broken close and not casting them out. Jesus was getting to the heart of the matter and not staying on the surface. It's in the way they experienced grace from God that was so special. The signs and the wonders were incredible, but bringing sinners close and saying, hey, you might just be an ordinary person, but I want to do something extraordinary through you. That's the confidence that Peter had to be like, okay, here's our time to tell more about it. It's the way that maybe you felt God move in your heart to recognize there's something maybe in your life that you're holding on to that's just in the way of your relationship with God. Maybe you're here and you recognize that you have maybe been spiritually disconnected for a long time, or maybe always. Maybe you've been here and you know who God is, you know who Jesus is in name, but maybe you're just now recognizing that you haven't let Jesus bring you close. Confidence comes from past faithfulness as proof of God's future faithfulness. Peter's confidence came from experience of past faithfulness that gave confidence for future faithfulness. The next thing that Peter gained confidence in. Peter's confidence came from the scripture. This is what's really, really great. If you still have Acts chapter 4, flip back to Acts chapter 3. I'm going to take you through really what happened here whenever Peter started preaching. Whenever he was in the temple with the guy that was healed, and you know, I mentioned that he started preaching and like 5,000 people said, yes to Jesus. Well, in verse 12 of Acts chapter 3, it says, Peter saw his opportunity and addressed the crowd. He saw his opportunity because they were looking at this lame guy, or this formerly crippled guy, and he's like up dancing. Said, people of Israel, what is so surprising about this? And why stare at us as though we had made this man walk by our own power or godliness? I love this. Like, Peter's not like, hey, that was me. That was me. Saul said, hey, get up and walk. He did it. Like, he's pointing, like, already right in the very, like, to address the crowd. He's saying, hey, guess what, guys? This is great, isn't it? Are you surprised by this? Do you think it's us? It's not. And then he kind of starts pointing into, in verse 13, for it is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of all our ancestors. He's talking to Jewish people saying, hey, look at our forefathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It's the same God then that we are worshiping now, who has brought glory to his servant Jesus by doing this. This is the same Jesus whom we handed over and rejected before Pilate. Then he starts pointing to the gospel story about how Pilate was the person that was in charge and Jesus was handed over to him. And then people were literally like starting to cry out, hey, we want this Barabbas guy who is a total skis bag instead of Jesus. So we'll take him and then you can actually crucify Jesus. We'll let this other guy go and then we'll welcome this criminal back into our society so that we can crucify Jesus. Verse 16, through faith in the name of Jesus, this man was healed. And you know how crippled he was before. Faith in Jesus' name has healed him before your very eyes. But God was fulfilling what all prophecies had foretold about the Messiah, that he must suffer these things. Peter literally started to preach the Old Testament, telling of the forefathers, telling of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He started to link right back to Scripture all those things that like Jewish people had like grown up understanding and knowing. They've been in like Sunday school, earning Bible bucks, you know what I mean? Like memorizing Old Testament Scripture. He's pointing back to those things. Jesus was the completer of that Old Testament. It's kind of how he's linking this. And so God's word specifically, how we can gain confidence, God's word is trustworthy. It's this full meta narrative from cover to cover. A scripture, and it's pointing to what we can have confidence in, and it's Jesus. It's all pointing to Jesus. Peter, very much clearly saying, hey, all this stuff pointing to Jesus. And then as like New Testament scripture was literally being written right then, at that time, pointing to Jesus. Like, the evidence points to the truthfulness of what it says. So therefore, I trust what it says no matter how I feel. Let me talk about feelings for a second. How many guys woke up today and felt just slightly sad because the sun wasn't out and it was rainy and gross? Anybody? Like, that's just New England. That's just what... Well, sometimes, like, we can experience kind of like a feeling of some kind just based on our circumstances. Things that are around us, we can just experience some type of feeling. I'm just going to tell you something that's going to be really, really good. Write this down. Remember this. Here's a quote. Feelings are real, but they're not trustworthy. Feelings are real, but they're not trustworthy. The evidence points to the trustworthiness that we can always go back to God's word no matter how we're feeling, because God's word talks about something called joy that is way better than happiness. I can be unhappy about my day today because of some circumstance, but still have joy that goes beyond my circumstance. That's what Scripture talks about. And that's how we can actually have confidence, specifically, even when our circumstances, even when there's pressure, even when if we're for Peter and John and we get put in jail, we can have confidence of joy. So therefore, I can trust what it says no matter what. That's confidence, because feelings are real, but they're not always trustworthy. That's why confidence can be a struggle, because our feelings be wildin' sometimes. You know what I mean? Let's keep going. He continues to say in Acts chapter 3, he goes right back to Scripture again in verse 22. It says, Moses said, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your own people. He's talking about Moses. Pretty important dude, the guy that, you know what I mean, led the Israelite people out of 400 years of slavery in Egypt. Yeah, kind of an important guy. Jewish people probably would have recognized the name, you know? He said, listen carefully to everything he tells you. Then Moses said, anyone who will not listen to that prophet will be completely cut off from God's people. Peter is like literally using Moses to prove that Jesus is who he says he is. Verse 24, starting with Samuel, every prophet spoke about what is happening today. You are the children of those prophets, and you are included in the covenant God promised to your ancestors. For God said to Abraham, through your descendants, all the families of the earth will be blessed. When God raised up his servant Jesus, he sent him first to you people of Israel to bless you by turning each of you back from your sinful ways. It's so beautiful. He's just like, he just has like a nice classic sermon. All right, let's open your Bibles too. It's like literally like Peter got up and then like 5,000 people were like, that is what that says. That is, I know exactly what Jesus has been doing. Yes. And for you, Grace Church Norton, whatever town you live in, you're here specifically on purpose. I'm just going to tell you that. You're here specifically because whatever is going on in your life, circumstantial-wise, God has literally like called you, ordained you to be in this seat. That's why some of leadership that we have here, we pray over these chairs. I'm just letting you peek behind the curtain. We pray over these chairs because we knew that you were going to be sitting in them. We pray that whenever we open God's word, that you hear God's voice. We pray that like no matter how much brokenness maybe you carry into this room, and man, oh man, in 4 months here, I already know the level of brokenness in so many that you guys are facing in your circumstances. I have my own. And the confidence that we can have is that Jesus has been working in the Old Testament. Jesus was working in the New Testament. And Jesus is working right now in the age of grace that we live in currently. And he's put you here to hear about it. Not just to hear about it. He's put you here to be a part of it. But Peter knew matched what Peter was seeing. And he just connected those dots. For you, I hope what we're doing today, every single Sunday, or every time you serve, or every time you go to your life group, I hope that you're seeing God's continually connecting the dots for you. Connecting you where you're understanding to like let go of these things that we cling to that are sinful and give it over to man, the Savior of the universe. God's been working before you even knew him. Said before the foundation of time, God had a plan for you to be bought back into the kingdom of God, and his name is Jesus. It's a great quote by C.S. Lewis. He's the guy that wrote The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, The Chronicles of Narnia. He actually wrote tons of incredible stuff. Man, a theologian well ahead of his years. He said this, "I believe in Christianity as I believe that the sun has risen. Not only because I see it, but because by it I see everything else." You might be in here and you're like, I don't know God's word really well. That's okay. You don't have to be a scholar of God's word. You just need to be a student of it. There's areas and avenues that we let, like that we form for you to be able to continue to grow in that relationship with God. It's through relationship with others. We call them life groups. So if you're interested in joining a life group's just launched last week. We're looking for more people to join in because we want to launch a brand new life group. We just launched another life group 2 weeks ago with young families. It's already full. And so if you're a young family and want to be in a life group, we want to launch another one of those. If you're here and you're maybe just a lady just looking for a ladies life group, we want to launch one of those. There's actually several people that we're setting up to maybe launch that here pretty soon. We can't do life alone. We're never supposed to. So maybe that's your next step of faith today. Let's talk about the last area of confidence, the way that Peter gained confidence. Number three, Peter's confidence came from the presence of God's Spirit. We can't do it without God's presence. We can't do it. We won't be able to. We'll maybe get like, you know, a day down the road and then we'll fail. But it's even the power of the Spirit that continues. Even in our failure, we see God's goodness. Here's the things the apostles did in Acts. Just a heads up. They spoke in languages they hadn't learned. They healed crippled people and sick people. They cast out demons. They died for their faith. Stephen in Acts 6 was the first martyr that actually went to, he died for what he believed. They thrived under heavy persecution. That's what's so incredible. Nero in 60 AD, 70 AD, Nero in 70 AD literally burned Christians with hot oil. And guess what? Was it snuffed out? No, it actually exploded. Christianity actually exploded. Why? It's because what they believe is true. A former Christian hunter named Paul, Saul of Tarsus, actually planted churches all over the ancient world. His name was changed to Paul. Did they do that on their own power? No, these people were uneducated. A lot of them were uneducated. Some of them were educated. Luke was a doctor. Paul was a Pharisee. They had some education. But they were like, literally like, Paul was like against Christianity. Did they do this under their own power? No, they couldn't. There was no possible way. Jesus promised to never leave them. And then he literally accomplished this through giving them the power of the Holy Spirit. I'll give you a story and we'll land the plane. Say land the plane. I got a plane story for you. Did student ministry for a long time. You'll hear stories of crazy student ministry things. We had a lot of fun. My first year in student ministry, we came, there was like 10 students. And then by that next summer, which was my first summer, kind of like planning camp, there was a lot more than 10 students, and so we were trying to figure out the best ways to be able to fundraise for our students, because we lived in an area where it was, not everybody had the money to pay $400 for camp, and so we did fundraisers. And there was this fundraiser that's the bane of my existence. It's called the garage sale. We would literally get donations from the church congregation and then literally put on a garage sale over Friday and Saturday. And then it would have to all be gone after that because we didn't have any place to store anything in the church that we had. And so, again, bane of my existence, getting all this stuff, sorting all this stuff, and then somehow finding a way to get rid of it all by Saturday night to then have church on Sunday. And I was thinking, I was just doing the math with all of these students. This fundraiser was going to like get them like $3 an hour. And this is like a heavy lifting kind of like, kind of situation. It was like they were taking things out and bringing them in, and this is heavy furniture, and like, it's just not ideal, okay? So I'm like trying to whack my brain. All right, God, what can I do to make this maybe better or worth it? I know, I'll do a big pre-sale on Thursday night, because it was like Friday and Saturday in the mornings, all the garage sailors. If you know garage sailors, they get on the things and they go and they'll like, 5 cents, I'll give you 2 cents. You know, it's like, that's what we were getting. And like, man, this isn't going to do it for us. So, hey, let's do a big pre-sale to kind of like market it and get the word out. So it's not just garage sailors. It's our community. It's our people. Like, okay, let's do this. And then I start to think, like, after we already get it all set and we have students that are signed up for slots to work and like all this kind of stuff, I start to think, man, I think I just did a terrible thing, because if we just sell the same things that we've sold the past couple years, I just actually did it worse because I made more hours that I had to distribute over more students. I just maybe diluted more of their payment. Uh-oh. And I like start sweating. Like, this is my first year in student ministry. I'm like, oh my gosh, I just like made the biggest mistake ever. All these people like trusted me with giving me all of their stuff, and like students are going to be like, all right, I'm just going to tell students, all right, guys, you guys made $20 off your $400 camp bill for this fundraiser that you spent 3 days slaving over. So I just started praying. Like, God, I know that you were in the works. I took this to you in prayer, and I know that you're doing something. I need your help. And time again, after fundraiser, one of a leader here or there would just say, hey, Rob, like fundraisers just always like just stress me out, because it's just like, man, are people going to come? And each time, one of the leaders in the student ministry would pat me on the back. It's like they like were like talking outside of this, saying like, hey, okay, you tell them this time. They would pat me on the back and say, God's got this, Rob. God's got this. And that Thursday night, we set up the pre-sale. We marketed it out to on the socials. We put it on the Craigslist. That brings some interesting peeps. Sorry if you shop on Craigslist. I do. I'm weird. And what's really wild is we set up and we got everything all set. And up in Colorado Springs, the graduation for the Air Force Academy was happening. And they have this airplanes, these jets called the Thunderbirds, that fly over, and it's a really cool thing. Like that was great for the community. Well, something happened specifically in one of those jets. It was like a malfunction as they were flying over, And they came down, because that was at the top of Colorado Springs. We were at the bottom of Colorado Springs, and they came down. They had an issue and a problem, and one of the jets had to end up kind of landing in a field that was near our church. And all of the traffic on all of the main roads were rerouted right directly on our church road. Right as our garage sale started. In 3 hours, the garage sale doubled what it had ever made in any year before. We can't do it without God's presence. We can't do it without God being with us. And some of us try. We do. We try to plan, and we try to just grit our teeth and, okay, I'm going to stop doing this thing that I know that is just like not good for me. We can't do it without God. And so I don't know where you are this morning. I don't know if that's just something that you just really needed to hear, but I'm just going to give you an opportunity. I'm just going to ask you to bow your head and to close your eyes. The band's going to start coming up, and we're going to go into a time of where we can respond and where we can have a time to really like parse through this. Maybe you know that you've been disconnected from God, and it's been a long time since you maybe even talked with them. Maybe right now is your opportunity to just simply have a conversation with the creator of the universe. Maybe you've been wrestling with confidence. Maybe you've been wrestling with all of these things. Again, that can be trivial when you just really think about it. But maybe it's the presence of God that you're just simply missing. Maybe it's an understanding that you have an incredible tool in God's word that you can have access to at any time. Maybe it's recognizing that you can see the faithfulness of God through other people in your life. Maybe it's people that invited you here to this room. Or maybe it's like faith-filled giants of the faith that you've been surrounded with, and you just maybe just need to ask them, hey, how has God been faithful in your life? Maybe you have that opportunity to be able to talk through that, to give you hope in where you are right now. How do we gain confidence? It's recognizing that we never deserved confidence in the first place. The confidence that we have, again, is in the creator of the universe that can do all things. And it's through that power that we're able to join in what God has already been doing. And when you say yes to that, there's a fulfillment. There's a difficulty that's worth it. And man, oh man, is there a network of love of people that you can lock arms with. The early church, they were there for each other, tangibly. When there was a need in the community, when there was something that was specific in need, they rushed to each other. They spent time with each other. They broke bread with each other. It's incredible. Maybe you've been lonely for just a really long time, just thinking that there's no one else that can understand you. Jesus does, and he put you here to hear it. Not just him. He wants to give you a community and a network. And so I don't know where you are. Maybe you've been in a place to where you don't know Jesus. You know him by name, but haven't welcomed him in a relationship. Maybe just tell that to him. Welcome him into your life, or maybe ask somebody specific hey, how do I start this relationship with Jesus? Maybe you've been walking with Jesus for a long time, and maybe you just feel like you're just stagnant. You're just on the bench. There are incredible teams right here at Grace Church Norton to be able to hop into, to use your time and your talents to communicate to everybody that walks through these doors, no matter how broken their story is, to communicate to them that they're loved and cherished and taken care of. Maybe you've just been living alone for a long time, and you haven't let anybody know you, fully know you, because you're afraid that they won't fully love you. Well, guess what? Our life groups are areas for people to be fully known and fully loved, because it's the picture of what Jesus has done for us. So I don't know where you are, but you have a next step that you can take. Let me pray for you. God, we are so thankful for who you are. We're thankful for what you do. we just pray that we would be just willing to hear from you. We just pray that this would be an opportunity to just step out. We stepped out to be here in this place. Now, Lord, I pray that that faithfulness that you have proven to us to even get us in this room would be proof of the future faithfulness that when we step out for our next step of faith, that you're going to be present. You're not going to leave us. You're not going to forsake us. You're going to give us a hope and a purpose and a real faith that's going to carry us through even the darkest of times. Happiness is circumstantial. You give us joy that surpasses any circumstance. Lord, I pray that we would welcome that today. It's in Jesus' name we pray, and everybody said, amen.